Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is one of our point fives that we like to do between the longer episodes, the proper episodes. This is 120.5, following up DBC's universe. And next, we're going to be conquering the entire corner oeuvre. I have my brother from another here, the great and world-traveled now, Hunter Ginn. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thank you. Your very flattering description.
Back from Australia?
I am back from Australia. I am on Wilmington Island, Georgia.
How was Australia in a nutshell?
Epic. Got to spend time with some of my best friends, Jason Walton, John Holm, Don Anderson. Played two very great shows with Soul Dusk, who were honestly kind of amazing.
I'm not familiar. I'm not.
Yeah,
not familiar.
No, I got a little familiar with them on the way, but live they were incredible. Kind of like 4AD and Project mixed with black metal.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, no, they were incredible.
Soul Dusk, is that two words?
Soul Dusk. Yeah, SULDUSK. Yeah, and they were lovely people. Just Australia was incredible.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to be back to doing some radical research. It's been a while because we were banking episodes in anticipation of your trip. And we should just point out here, why not, that you recently appeared on I Hate Music's, what episode is that? There's 82nd?
82, I believe.
82. Talking with your buddy Jason and Nick from
and
Dolven.
Nick Woos?
Yeah, from Dolven. So what's that?
Nick Woos?
Nick Woos?
Always say it that way because Jason always acts like he's surprised that he's there. And we did a whole thing. So we all did it in person. And Jason's like, look, when I introduce you, just say, holy shit, it's Nick Woos. And Nick actually got kind of scared by that.
That's fantastic.
Nick's also like 7 feet tall. So it's funny, like for me, who is relatively diminutive, to have scared him. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, episode 82 of I Hate Music, three of you talk a good game about Prongs Beg to Differ and Primus's Frizzle Fry. So,
yep.
Okay, great. Well, let's get on to it in the spirit of the point fives, quick in, quick out. We love two things. Well, we love many things in music, of course, you and I. But two things we love very, very dearly are Queen and Jeff Scott Soto. Queen, hardly have to qualify that. I mean, they're just incredible. And you and I count Queen's The Prophet song from their fourth album, Night at the Opera, as perhaps the greatest Queen song.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it might be my number one as well.
No argument.
This thing was written by Brian May, and parts of it were slated for Queen 2, and you can kind of hear it in its heaviness because Queen 2 is by far the heaviest and darkest Queen.
Very.
Amazing album. But you can hear that Prophet Song might have had its roots in that era. So two albums later, he finally put it together and presented this thing called The Prophet Song. As anybody knows, I hope, Queen was a band of four equals. Each guy wrote, three of the guys sang. And Brian May is credited with Prophet Song. Now, the interesting thing about Prophet Song, there's a break in the middle of this epic song that is an a cappella Freddie Mercury moment of him using, I guess, what, sampling technology? Or
probably, tape cut up.
Yeah, tape delay devices, basically.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. And beyond just the gorgeousness of it, and we're going to listen to a bit of it, is the question of, like, I wonder if Brian May orchestrated that being the sole writer, or as you know, Hunter, sometimes, you know, with writing credits, you know, you might take a credit as a solo writer, but also, you know, that like maybe Mercury might've had quite a bit to do with this. I would think he did.
Yeah, no, I suspect he did.
Yeah. And I can also suspect that like Brian May maybe wrote that heavy part near the end of Bohemian Rhapsody from the same album, but that's mostly a Freddie Mercury composition. And you wonder, like, well, maybe they just decided to just, you know, keep the royalties easy to deal with. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but like, I always found it curious that
I don't either. I've never gotten paid for music. So.
That's not true. Hold on. Let's qualify. You have gotten paid for live performance. You've never gotten paid for recorded, which is a goddamn shame, but that's a whole other podcast for a whole other couple hosts. And we don't want to tackle that. No, but my point is that, you know, I've often wondered, like, who wrote this bit? It seems like a Freddie Mercury thing, but we'll have to give Brian May some credit. In any case, let's listen to a little bit of it and understand why this is such an arresting and wonderful moment in the middle of the Prophet song. So as we hear there, it's in the form of a round. And when I was in elementary school music class, I remember being so fascinated and excited when we would do rounds. Did you ever learn that in school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you'd sing Frere Jacques, or, you know, part of the class would, and then the other class would come on top of that. And you're basically teaching kids like a canon, a contrapuntal compositional technique.
Yep, exactly.
And that's to me, the greatest use of it that I've ever heard in the middle of Prophet song. I mean, just fantastic. So Jeff Scott Soto, I think you should take the lead on this, because as much as of a fan as I am, I think you're even crazier for Jeff Scott Soto, perhaps.
I am beyond crazy about Jeff Scott Soto. So like, my relationship with this man has gone on 30 years now. Borivoj Gergen turned me on to Jeff Scott Soto, and I saw his picture in Metal Maniacs, and it's like, how can you argue with that hair?
I mean, really? And I'll tell you this, and I know I've been lucky enough to know the guy, because I worked with Sons of Apollo when I was at Inside Out, and have had conversations with the man. He's in my contacts still, and I try not to bug him too much, but he's a sweet man. But I've stood next to him, and I'm pretty tall. That dude made me feel like a shrimp. And he's Holy also
shit. How tall is he?
He's pretty tall. I would say 6'6".
God
maybe.
Damn.
And he's just, I mean, you know, and my heterosexuality is intact, but that is one good looking that is one good looking man.
So is mine, Jeff. But I am gay as fuck for Jeff
No,
Smoltz.
he's just a really good looking man. I mean, like the dude, like he walks in a room and I'm looking at him, but I also am like, look at all the women looking at him. Like it's just like he's one of these guys.
He's a
And
fucking man. He's a fucking man.
he's blessed
Shut
with
up.
so many gifts. And you know, the prime gift, I think, is the voice. And I learned about him through the early Yngwie albums, of course. You know, and I still
Sure.
revere his performance on Marching Out, one of my favorite metal albums of all time. Then he went into just a shit ton of
Yep.
projects. I mean, it's almost limitless. You look him
Well,
up.
I will remember this moment forever. Okay. And you can call mom again later and ask her about this.
Okay.
I was so you visited the house where I grew up, right?
Yep.
Birth room, right? And so my bedroom was downstairs. So one day I hear my mom go, "Who the fuck did you call in Sweden?"
That.
It was Dino Records.
Ah.
And I was like, I had to have it. And I got a copy. And so I inquired about Genesis and the first Masquerade album.
Well, hold on,
And
let's back up.
Dino
Genesis
Records.
be just sorry, let's back up. Genesis being the Talisman
Yeah,
album.
the second Talisman record
Right. Which
and
Jeff
the
Scott
first
Soto sings
Masquerade
on.
record. Yes, correct. And then the first Masquerade record.
Okay.
Both Borivoj recommendations. So Dino very, very graciously sent me copies of Humanimal, terrible album
Hold
title
on. Okay.
and worst album cover
Ever.
ever.
The
It's bad. It's bad.
I've also been like curious on how you're actually supposed to say that, because humanimal?
No, it's Humanimal.
Humanimal. Yeah, but
Humanimal.
you don't say human.
Humanimal.
Yeah.
That's how
All
I
right.
say it.
All right.
Anyway, and then
I say it, but I don't look at it.
that's fine. You shouldn't.
Man.
Second Masquerade record.
Oh, okay. So they knew who they had. They were like, this kid ordered from us. We're going to give him even more and hook him even further into this melodic Swedish hard rock
They're like
slash heavy
this
metal world.
fucking kid from like South Georgia
Right.
that is like interested in Swedish melodic heavy rock.
Obviously, Jeff Scott Soto is American,
Yes.
but he dabbled with Swedes. I mean, he got in obviously into Yngwie, and through Yngwie, Marcel Jacob, who has played with Yngwie in Rising Forest, but also
Terrible.
was the other half of Talisman. I want to point that out because one of the greatest bass players in rock and metal
Incredible,
history.
incredible player.
And that material, I love that you got into that, and I independently of you got into a lot of that similar sort of stuff too. And I just love that sound. And the Talisman albums are highly recommended. So is the Human Clay stuff.
Oh my God, dude, the two Human Clay records are fucking amazing.
Yeah. What's the Eternal Flame? Man, one of the greatest songs of all time. It's just one of the greatest songs of all time. Anyhow, Jeff Scott Soto. So this is your fandom. And we've often talked about how Jeff Scott Soto is your guy and Tony Harnell's my guy in terms of like these melodic
We love
singers.
both of them,
We both
right?
love both of them. We obsess over these guys. They're both, I think they're comparable, but very different
It's
too.
the same kind of story, like two American guys that like made their bones in Scandinavia.
Yeah, isn't that great? I know. I know.
Crazy and awesome and yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, enough fawning over Jeff Scott Soto. We'll leave the listeners to explore on their own if they wish. But he did this thing with Prophet Song. He started it actually in the early 2000s, I believe. He would play like things like Queen, sorry, Queen conventions, fan conventions. There was one in 2004 in the UK that he did this thing, and in the midst of a Queen heavy set, he would do this a cappella Prophet Song using some kind of delay device, some sort of sampler thingy. I think of, you know, when Fripp does that with his, you know, he'll lay down a line and then he'll repeat it and kind of record and repeat it, right? And lay down these beds of lines.
Yep.
Yeah. And Jeff Scott Soto does the same thing live. And I was able to see Sons of Apollo a few times live in the, I guess, the late 2000 teens, when they were doing their thing, and I was working with them as an employee of Inside Out. And each time I saw Sons of Apollo, Jeff Scott Soto did this Prophet Song thing. And I'd never seen it until that point. I never even knew about it until that point. And I was so blown away. And I think the clip we're going to play you from a show in Orlando, Florida, in 2018 is a good enough example, but you kind of had to be there. It's one of those things that it's way more astounding when you're there. But we just want to like really kind of just thank Jeff for having the great taste to do this and the talent to do this as well. And it's also been a great excuse for us to just talk about Jeff Scott Soto on this podcast, right?
Always.
Oh, people, can you hear me? People, can you hear me?
Have you been reduced to a little pile of sticky goo down there in Savannah?
Yep, pure goo.
Had you heard that before?
No.
What'd you think?
Goo. Just pure vocal porn.
Yeah, man. I usually don't love solo spots in live performances. They tend to be kind of tedious, but I'll take that one every time.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. The big old fat old long ass corner episode is next. We appreciate every one of you. Hunter, this has been fun, and we'll see you next time.